ask our other guest on today's show if they would join us as well. And we're going to fire a few questions at him in kind of a round table format, if you would. I promise I'll be kind. And I take back everything I said about the 8th grade. I heard, though, actually, the 8th grade class, that it would have been a third term, but there was a term limit. Is that correct?
It was good.
Yeah, that's what I heard. I don't know. I'm just saying what I've heard. Gentlemen, I'm going to throw something out here that we can go with it 6 or 7 different ways. And I want to bring up the issue of animal agriculture. It's in the news in a host of ways. We know they're our big consumer, our biggest consumer. Can we feed them? Can we feed the world? Can we coexist? What coalitions do we form? Let's banter this issue for just a little bit. Crop production, animal agriculture, bring it together. Let's, in any order.
Well, Mark, as you know, livestock is our number one customer, and it's very, very important to the corn industry, okay? Many corn growers also are livestock producers, including myself, and so I know how important it is to watch the bottom line with our feed costs. But today, corn prices have gone down dramatically, in fact, over one half since the highs.
Right.
And so that should be helping the livestock producers' bottom line. Having said that, I also think that as producers, corn producers, commodity producers, that we need to be working with our livestock organizations, especially in the areas where we have mutual concerns, mutual issues. Because we in agriculture are such a small number anymore that we need to be working together wherever we possibly can.
Well, we all the organizations went to China this past in the fall, and we saw the vast amount of people over there. You know, we all read about that, and they say there's 2.3 billion people in China. But as you see that and actually see what's going on there, that whole economy is growing, and it's a great opportunity for U.S. agriculture, whether it be in selling of beef, pork, chicken, corn, soybeans, wheat, grain sorghum. You know, all that fits together, and rising tides bring up all ships. And we just feel like there's great opportunity for American agriculture in the future, because we're going to have to feed this world. And in wheat, we've got to have biotechnology in order to do that. And so we think that's a great opportunity.
Okay. Johnny?
Well, just a couple comments. This has been a priority for a number of our states now for some time. We believe and know that animal agriculture, as Bob says, is our number one customer. So what we've talked about and thought about doing is maybe getting all the agriculture groups together, the livestock groups and grain production groups together, to sit down and have a discussion and try to figure out what we need to do and what direction we need to go.
Toby, you want to add to that?
Well, I think it just became market pressures and just the volatility of the whole situation, the food versus the fuel debate. And I think now it has worked itself out, and it's answered a lot of questions since then. And I think I think we're happier where we're at, that we can formally do both.
Very good. David, you brought something up. It's a perfect segue. You know, for years in this country, we were told about the emerging market, the emerging play that the country of China was going to have, not just on the world economy, but on the agricultural U.S. economy. Let's talk about that. I think that's everybody is more cognizant of it now. Possibly it was the Olympics, of all things, that brought it to the forefront. But let's talk about the China market, their economy, the impact it's going to have on all of us and what we do there.
I think one of the big impacts that we're going to see is energy. People are coming out of the countryside and they start using 2 light bulbs instead of 1 light bulb, those energy needs are going to go up. And so that's why this whole renewable fuels industry will be important in the United States, because that energy, we're seeing oil prices in a bit of slump, Dave, but I think in the future we're going to see energy needs go up.
Very good.
I've had the opportunity to visit China several times. I'm always impressed with China. In fact, I'm intrigued with China, with their 1.3 billion people. In my mind, there's tremendous potential there for the future of U.S. agriculture.
But China is a large market for all of our commodities. But I think one of the key issues that for success to all of agriculture here in the United States is free trade agreements. There are a number of countries that are negotiating now with other countries for free trade agreements, and the U.S. has got to be position to where we can continue to negotiate those free trade agreements. So we do have market access to all of our crops and with all of our livestock.
China, India, both, as these countries become more influential and get more wealthy, they're going to want better food, and we have the best food here in America. And as that competition rises, we are truly going to face a global competitiveness and market that we haven't faced in the past.
You know, there's always a lot of truisms, and there's a lot of trends, and some are proven wrong from time to time, but there's always one truism that has never been wrong, and that is, as an economy of a country goes up, their diet request needs go up as well. There's no question about that. I wasn't going to bring this up, but you can't. You can't not bring this up. That was a double negative. I'm sorry. Don't ever use double negatives. Not never. Anyway. Every day in the newspaper, you open it up. You don't have to go to the financial section. The economy is the number one news item and has been for months and will be for another year. Let's talk about not just the ag economy, but the general economy and the play that it's having on your producers and in agriculture. What do you see? Where are we going? What are the positive pressures? What are the negative pressures? We could be here an hour. We won't, but I just like a couple observations there. Well, let's start at the end if we could. All right, Bob, let's just run that in a row.
Well, of course, there is concern. The tightening of the credit market, the people losing their jobs. I mean, there is tremendous concern. I mean, not just in agriculture, but the economy in general. The economic stimulus package that has been passed, if there's any one good thing that has come from all of this, I truly believe that the investment in infrastructure in our locks and dam systems and highways and bridges and rail transportation has been lacking for investment for years. And so, again, if there's any one positive thing that has come from all of this, it would be the investment in this nation's infrastructure.
Well, I'd just like to say that I believe Wall Street frustrations and concerns and their crisis there may eventually end up in Main Street in small town USA, and that really concerns me. And so I would suggest that the producers here make sure that they're using all the risk management tools that are available to them. And the other point that I'd like to make is, because as Johnny said, maybe a credit crunch in agriculture, we don't know that for sure, but I would encourage all the producers to get to know their banker on a first name basis.
Absolutely.
Well, last year, a year ago, we saw these high commodity prices, and everybody was excited, and we all knew that possibly they couldn't stay. Well, a year later, here we are. In wheat, you know, we got hit with food versus fuel and that whole debate and about how much we were spending on food. And 8 cents of wheat goes in a loaf of bread.
Exactly.
And our bread prices are basically still the same prices, and we've seen lower commodity prices. So it's with these higher input prices, it's going to be a challenging year, but we feel like that's what we're all here for, is to push these commodity programs to make sure administration people know that, you know, only a quarter of 1% goes to farmers for commodity programs, and that message needs to be pushed forward.
Probably agree, don't you, Tony?
I totally agree.
We're going to start with you next, by the way, okay. So that you don't have to... They say all the good stuff, and you got nothing left, right?
Being from the eighth grade, that helps. That helps.
You know, I hate it when the guests are funnier than I am. I hate that. That was a good, nice callback. So, but I'm going to let you wrap this one up here.
You bet. No, it's been an extremely tough year. I mean, if you got caught between the extremely high input cost and the low markets that soon followed, it's been tough. And to use all your risk management tools, you've had to rely on a broad overlay and be very informed this year. Hopefully this volatility will work its way out, and we can sustain some good prices. And I think with just as high prices bring low prices, I think low prices will bring high prices again. So I think through this transition, we will find our medium.
And we've always been, at times when things are good, we've always been the whipping boy, whether it's the grocers or whoever it is. And I always thought, why they picked on us. A box of cornflakes, the cardboard costs more than the product that went in there. And nobody was yelling or screaming at the cardboard manufacturers. But that means we've just got to constantly be out there telling our story as well. And also, go ahead, Bob.
Well, and the value of corn in that box of cornflakes is less than a nickel.
Exactly.
So a good example like Dave gave.
Exactly. Well, let's, Dave, you brought something up early when we were talking. You've kind of addressed it again. Everybody in this room and all of America, all consumers in particular, the term biotechnology, on one front, it's exciting for all of us. On another front, they sometimes paint a picture that, you know, it's a scary subject that we need to be careful with. Let's talk about biotechnology just for issue, not just in your commodity groups, but also generally. And we're going to start with you, Toby.
You're going to start with me. Mm-hmm. All right. Good deal. It's a touchy subject in our world. We had lots of export last year to Europe with GMOs as far as being labeled genetically modified. So we've got to be careful on how we approach it. We've got to make some informed decisions and research some things. Obviously, the research hasn't been in our crop in the past. And as we grow acres and are here in the future and continue to grow, we're looking at those options. And it definitely has its benefits, as a survey from the wheat producers found out. But also, there's a lot of people out there that, in niche markets, that really don't like the GMO thing. So we as a sorghum industry, we're going to have to make a really informed decision.
David?
Well, our foreign market arm of the wheat industry, U.S. Wheat Associates, have been active in the last 2 years to prepare our customers that this is coming. And, you know, American farmers are credible. And our U.S. Wheat is finding that their customers say, well, if the American farmers are think it's okay, we're okay with it. And we realize that we're going to have to get ready for it.
Right.
So I don't think it's anything that you jump into. You prepare the market for it. And you know, that's the great thing about U.S. agriculture. We can produce whatever the needs are, the consumer are, whether it be biotechnology, whether it be traditional methods, or whether it be organic. We're good enough that we can do all those different production techniques and provide it to the market.
Very good. Bob.
Well, Mark, biotechnology is so important to us here in the United States of America. Last fall, I had the opportunity to travel with our governor to Europe, and our governor was asked to speak before the European Parliament about biotech issues and the advantages and so forth. And let me tell you, there's lots and lots of politics over there concerning biotech. We had the opportunity to go visit a farm. And believe me, the farmers want that biotechnology, but because of the politics, to this day, they don't have it.
Mm-hmm. Johnny?
Well, it's been pretty obvious that soybean producers have embraced biotechnology. And just this year, we have two new traits that will be commercialized. ASA has put a lot of effort into going to the EU, going to Korea, going to our major trading partners, and having a conversation with, first of all, the stakeholders in those industries, the livestock feed manufacturers and the farmers in those countries that will ultimately use our product and say, you know, in order for us to, quote-unquote, feed the world, that it will be necessary for us to continue to adopt the new technology that is being brought to the marketplace, drought tolerance, disease resistance, and you can go on and on down the list. So it is a challenge for all of our industry to get the regulations in place or help other countries get the regulations in place that would allow for the use of our product in their country.
Very good. Gentlemen, great food for thought. Good information. I just received in my ear prompter that the Letterman Show has called. And actually, they want you three guys. The View wants you.
Okay.
not sure why exactly. But ladies and gentlemen, nice round of applause for all of our guests today. Thank you very much, guys. Thank you very much. Take a stage. Thanks very much. Bob, good thank job. You. Thanks, Johnny. Thank you very much. Wow, you know, I can't think of a better way for me to